Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor at Truth Community Church, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. Wherever you're listening from, I hope this message leads you to discover Jesus, connect with people, and serve the world. If you want to take your next step, visit us online at truthcommunity.org. Now, let's dive into the message. All right, so we're kicking off this new series today called Selfless. And hey, I didn't give this disclaimer in the 9:30, but you guys in the 11 can hear it. I'm thankful for Life Church and Pastor Craig Rochelle. He preached this message series a year back, and I'm so thankful Life Church makes all their resources available. In fact, if you have YouVersion Bible app on your phone, they're the ones who made it and didn't charge you for it. And so I'm thankful for this opportunity to share a lot of the content that he preached. But we're talking about New Year's goals and New Year's resolutions. And as I started to share, when it comes to me and making goals, I love that stuff. I love having goals. And I was reading to Amy some of the goals that I made last year. And I was talking to my brother, too, about it and saying, man, out of like 20 goals, I think I did 3. But I'm going to make another 30 for this year. And we're just going to keep making these goals. And maybe these are some of your goals. I've got goals to read more books. And I've got outlandish goals. Amy's like, how many days you want to work out this year? I said, 8 days a week, babe. I want to make sure I get there every single day plus one. Do it double. And so we make these goals for ourselves. And maybe some of your goals today, as you think about the new year in your life, you have goals like, I want to get out of debt. I want to make up for December. Isn't it funny? December for me is one of the most selfish months. It's when I eat the most and spend the most. I'm thankful for all the food that was there. So now I have a goal to kind of get rid of some of that food that I ate last month. And we have all these goals that we set. And I'm sure in this space, there are some of us here where those words make sense and others like, I don't get it. Like, it's just another day. And you know what? You're normal and you're right. January 1st is just another day, but in our brain, we kind of think new year, new me. And if I can do some new stuff on the first day, then maybe I can change my life for the rest of the year. And you know, I'll say there could be something to it. And if you haven't had a chance yet to reflect on 2018 and project and pray over 2019, I encourage you to do it. Don't limit yourself, okay? God is able to do so much more than we can even imagine in our lives. But oftentimes, I found this to be true, that my goals tend to make me better. You know, even the good ones, they're all good. Get out of debt, lose weight, read more, spend more time here. All of these different things, they're good goals, but so often, when I think about them, they're self-centered. They've got Keith at the center. And I understand that, hey, you know, this might be that if I do it, it impacts other people, which is true. It'll have a ripple effect. If I grow, then this person will be impacted by it. And that's very true. But too often, it's always self-centered. Now, here's the danger and the tragedy. It's when I take that same logic and that same reasoning and I apply it to God as I go into a new year or whenever it is in your life. And I start looking at God and I start saying, you know what, God, this is the year when you bless me. I'm claiming this is the year you're going to protect me, you're going to provide for me, this breakthrough year, and all of these good prayers, these are good things that we say, but think about it. Maybe this has happened to you. I know it's happened to me. Or I pray a prayer, say, God, bless me, and I be specific. God, I want it to look like this, and it's got to be on this time and this day. And then it doesn't happen, and what happens? I get mad at God. Anyone else ever get mad at God before? Come on. I get mad at God, and I don't believe you exist. And if you do exist, you're not very good. I mean, God, I must be better than you because I would have at least done half of what I asked you to do for me. I mean, what's going on here? You must not be as good as I am. And what happens is we've created this, a self-centered faith, where we've put us at the center, and suddenly God has been the person who has to answer to us. God, you bless me. You protect me. You prepare a way for me. You open doors for me. You provide breakthrough for me. And listen, we believe in prayers of faith. We do. We believe in prayer here. Prayer is our first response, not a last resort. And I will stand with you and pray those prayers of miracles and faith. But I want to ask some hard questions today. It will get tense in this space. All right? It will get tense, but I believe it's for our growth and it's for the Holy Spirit to stir our hearts. But how often I create a self-centered faith where I say, God, you need to do this for me. And because, I mean, I'm such a good person and this is how it looks, right? Look at the words of Jesus. When he was having people follow him, look at how he said their life would be. Matthew wrote it down for us. It says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. The words of Jesus. If you want to follow me, this is what it's going to look like.
You're going to deny yourself in the praying, God bless me, protect me, provide for me. There's going to be moments where you're going to deny yourself. Why? Because you're going to come under the will of God. You're going to come under the will of Jesus, your Savior, your leader in your life. And you're going to be at a place where you say, it hurts. I've taken up my cross and I'm surrendering my will to Jesus. I'm going to follow him. Now, in this space right now, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, this is a great Sunday because I want you to hear what it is to follow him. I want you to begin this new year saying, okay, so if I follow Jesus, what does that mean for my life? What does that look like? And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at four goals or values or principles that I believe if Jesus could, he would give us for our New Year's resolutions. And they're these: to be bold and witness. We're going to talk about that today. What would it mean to share our faith, even when it's awkward, even when we might get laughed at or ridiculed? What would it mean to be faithful in service, even if it means I have to be inconvenienced, I have to change my schedule around and look at life differently to be faithful in service? What if I was extravagant in generosity? What if I actually made personal decisions to change spending habits so that I can be extravagant in my generosity? And I love this, to be grateful in the grind. So if you currently hate your job, you cannot miss the fourth week of January, okay? Because we're going to talk about how am I grateful even in the grind of life, even when things aren't going the way I thought, even when it's not the job I wanted, the relationship didn't come out the way I thought, the business didn't pay. How in those moments am I grateful in the grind? And today we're going to talk about being bold and witness. Now, here's my hand up. I struggle with sharing my faith. Anyone else? You can say, yeah, there are moments, and I think all of us in this space, we say, there are moments where it's hard for me to be bold in my witness. It is hard for me to share my faith. It's hard for me to invite someone to church. It's hard for me to talk about Jesus. It's hard for me to talk about my Savior. So what would it look like this year if we said, but you know what? I want to be bold in witness. I want to be able to share my faith. Now, what's amazing is we're in good company if we struggle with sharing our faith, because the disciples, the very men that Jesus had follow him for 3 years, they were afraid to share their faith. It's amazing that they had this moment. So let me give you some context before we read together. The disciples were following Jesus for 3 years. They had 3 years of seeing the miracles, 3 years of watching the resurrections, and he brought Lazarus back to life, and he brought a little girl back to life, and he fed the masses, and he taught with authority. And all throughout this time, think about it, these guys, their faith is being built, and they're discovering who Jesus is, and they're hearing him over and over. And there was one unique message that Jesus kept saying. It is important. He kept telling them, guys, I'm going to die. But don't worry, in 3 days, I'm going to come back to life. And he would repeat this. You can read it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. All throughout his life, he's reminding them, I'm going to die, but I'm going to come back to life. I'm going to die, and on the third day, I'm going to be resurrected. And there are moments where his disciples pushed against that and say, no, Jesus, we won't let that happen. In fact, one moment he says, listen, you're a devil right now, okay? Peter, you are now Satan, and you need to stop telling me I'm not going to die. Because he knew his mission. It was, I'm going to die, but don't worry, I'm going to come back to life. I will be resurrected on the third day. And they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. So Jesus dies, as he said. He's nailed to a cross, buried in a tomb. And the third day comes, Sunday. Now, what do you think the disciples will be doing in that moment? They've been told over and over, don't worry, I'm going to die. You're going to come back to life. I like to think at that moment that they're having a tomb party. Okay, they're out by the tomb. They've got pizzas. The tomb's going to open up, guys, any minute. Jesus said he's going to come back to life. It's the third day. Let's tell everybody, come over here. You got to see this. The tomb's going to open up. It's the third day. We can have faith. We can be bold in our witness. That wasn't what they did. The disciples of Jesus, John records it for us. John chapter 20. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors. The doors were locked. They didn't want anybody getting in. No one was getting out because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Think about that. That actually gives me some comfort. Here's the disciples, men who followed Jesus for 3 years. They were told specifically by him, I will die. I will come back to life on the third day. And on the third day that night, they are hiding behind locked doors. Side note here. The reason why John wrote that happened is because that happened. Does that make sense? Because sometimes we say, okay, well, is this real? Can we trust it? Think about it for a minute. John wrote this in the first century when he was trying to share the message of Jesus with his first century audience. This is 2,000 years ago. So he's writing something that's going to be passed around while there are still people who would say, we know that guy. We know John. And yet here is John writing saying, oh, yeah, and by the way, on the very night when we should have been bold and brave, we were hiding behind locked doors. I'm sure he thought, like, do I have to include this? Yes, you have to include it because it happened. And here's John remembering that night. Oh, my goodness, we were afraid. We were hiding behind locked doors. We weren't sure what was going to take place. We were not bold in witness, even though Jesus said 3 days later. Why weren't they bold? Why didn't they share their faith? And I think a lot of it is for the same reasons I know I struggle. So maybe this is you. Sometimes I struggle with sharing my faith because I don't know what question is going to be asked if I go that road. You ever have that? You're like, if I start to talk about Jesus and church and all of that, I don't know if they're going to hit me with a hard question that I don't know if I'll be able to answer. And so I kind of shy back and say, yeah, but I'm not going to share my faith right now because I don't really know and I'm not well equipped and I'm not ready. And maybe you've had this experience. I don't want to share my faith because I don't want to offend somebody. I don't want to be that guy that rubs them wrong. I don't know them well enough and I don't want to offend them. And we all have our different reasons as to why we're not bold in witness, but can I tell you, this is what I think the root is. It's this word fear, right? When you think about all the different reasons and all the different, I'll say for me, excuses that I make to not share my faith, it's because of fear. It's because what do we read? That they were afraid. They were hiding behind locked doors. There was fear that was with them. Instead of being bold in witness, they were afraid to talk about Jesus. So then I start to ask, well, how can I overcome my fear? How can I replace my fear? And I'll tell you, we can do it right now in this moment. I can get the band back up. We can do the lights and we can have a pep rally. We can give you cards. Let's hit the streets. Come on, people. We've got this. Let's just overcome our fear. But you know what? That's not going to fix it. That might be a moment, an experience, and we might get real excited, but Wednesday is still coming. And my job's still there, and my family's still there. And we can go through all of those different moments in our life and say, well, yeah, it worked on this day, but how do I overcome fear and become bold in witness throughout the routine of life? And there is an experience and a moment that the disciples have right here, and it changed them. And although it was 2,000 years ago, I believe it could still change us today. So look at this. We'll read again. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. Don't let this go by too fast. Because the last time that most of these disciples saw Jesus was when he was in the garden arrested, and a lot of them ran and started hiding then. Others of them saw him nailed to the cross. There were some who were there when he was buried, but the last time they saw Jesus, he was dead and gone. There was no hope. There was no resurrected Jesus. John is now writing this, remembering from the other side of it, but he knew, well, the last time we saw Jesus, he was dead and gone, and suddenly he is standing there among us, and he's the first one to say, yo, peace, guys, come on. Just peace. Come, I'm with you. I am here. They had a moment with the resurrected Jesus, and their lives were changed. Let me talk about Peter, because Peter, I mean, he makes a life transformation. Peter, before this moment, he can't admit to anyone he's a follower of Jesus. He is questioned about his faith, and he's denying it. He's saying anything he can to just remove himself from being associated with Jesus. After this moment, though, you can't shut Peter up, man. He is just declaring the goodness of God. We're going to read in just a minute, but I want to give you context first. Peter goes on this mission to share his faith. And on one of these days, he's standing up before the masses. This is weeks after this moment. He's standing there declaring the goodness of God, and people are repenting of their sin. They're putting their faith in Jesus. We read that thousands are being water baptized. Peter, the same guy who couldn't admit Jesus was his leader. Peter, the same guy who Jesus said, you're Satan. I mean, look at Peter's transformation. What happened there? And then you read on that Peter was with John and they're walking to temple one day and they see a man who is lame from birth and they look at him and by the power of Jesus, that man is healed and restored. I mean, they're seeing miracles. They are bold in their witness, sharing their faith. Now, there are some who didn't like it. There were the religious leaders in that day who really spearheaded Jesus' crucifixion and they heard Jesus' name being preached and they weren't too happy. So they took Peter and John and they placed them in prison overnight and they brought him out for questioning the next day. And here they are before the high priest and the council. These are important people. And they're asking them, what gives you the right to declare Jesus? We killed him. When you kill a revolutionary, the revolution dies. Why are you talking about Jesus? And here we see what Peter says. Peter replies in Acts chapter 4. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people. Hold on 1 second here. We believe that God's very presence and Holy Spirit fills our lives. That Peter is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that he is able to speak of Jesus, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He points us to Jesus. And so every time you read when Peter's getting up to share, or Paul or John or others, you see that the Holy Spirit is with them. He is filling them. He is giving them boldness to declare Jesus. And so Peter, in this moment, filled with the Holy Spirit, stands up before all the religious, all the leaders, and look at what he says. I love this. He's bold. Are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Just think about the sarcasm of Peter for a minute. Hey, you in the back, you asking me why I healed this guy? Why don't you come forward and ask me, right? Like, think about what he's saying. He's like, we're really going to talk about the fact that we did something good? This guy couldn't walk his whole life. And you're so confused and concerned over it. Why are you asking about this? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state for all of you and to all the people of Israel, here it is, that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. And that's the key right there. Peter had an experience with a resurrected Jesus. And when Peter saw a resurrected Jesus, he believed. And he didn't believe before that, but he had an experience. And I want you to understand, you get this. You know this because we have the same experience today. Let's just put Jesus here for a second. There are things that you believe so strongly that you have no problem sharing with other people. This is a teaching point. We speak boldly about what we believe deeply. Right? Confession time. There are moments where I've taken off of work and other things so I can Netflix binge. Okay? I've done it. People have said, this show is incredible. You got to watch it. Just you know, your kids, they'll be fine. 4 and 2-year-old. Just put them in a room. They'll figure it out. You got to just keep watching this. And then Netflix judges me and says, are you still watching? I say, yes, I'm still watching. Leave me alone. But we do that. And then what happens? We tell everybody about it. This is a great show. You've got to see this. Or maybe you've gone to a restaurant that was amazing. You tell everybody, this restaurant, you've got to have this food. You've got to try this. I mean, we do with anything. I get a new pair of running shoes, but guys, this is like cloud nine I'm running on. You've got to get these shoes. So think about that. Why? And I know that the content might change, the context may be different, but still in here, we speak boldly about what we believe deeply. If I deeply believe that this show is worth it, I'm going to share it. If I deeply believe this product, this experience is life-changing, I'm going to speak boldly about it. I'm not going to shy away from it and hold back. So apply that to Jesus. It might be the reason we don't speak boldly about Jesus is because we don't yet believe deeply about Jesus. That we don't yet believe deeply that, yes, he is the resurrected king. Yes, he was dead, buried, and came back to life, and his resurrection power is now changing my life. But Peter, he believed it deeply. He goes on, he says that there's salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. So think about that word there. They were amazed when they saw the boldness. Now, it's going to get uncomfortable, but it's okay. I know it's like first Sunday of the year. Like, can't you just give us a good, this is good, okay? This is good for us. They were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter. They were amazed when they saw it. So here's my question to get us thinking today. How amazed are people when they see your boldness for Jesus? And to quantify it, here's a scale we have. Scale it from 1 to 10, with 1 being people are unmoved, And 10 being that they're amazed, okay? So you're not a 10, okay? That's Jesus. Okay, no one in here is Jesus, okay? I'm not Jesus. And you're probably not a 1, that's a devil, okay? So that's none of us, okay? So devil to Jesus, but think about it. Where do you land when it comes to sharing your faith, to being bold in witness, to believing deeply about the resurrection of Jesus? Let me help you a little bit here. If you're saying, well, I think I'm kind of on the end side, the 7, 8, 9, here's some good cues for it. Maybe today you're not sitting alone because you invited someone to come with you, or you brought someone with you. Or if they didn't come, then you've been inviting all week long. You've been sharing your faith with people at your job. They know you invited me. You even say, whatever it takes, I'll buy you lunch. I'll do what it takes. You've got to discover Jesus. Or you have a prayer list, people by name that you're praying for every day. Say, God, I want to see you save this person. Use me. Let me have moments where I can be bold. Okay, that might be 7, 8, 9. Now, lower is just the very opposite. You don't remember the last time you invited someone out. You've never shared your faith. In fact, you might not even check in on Facebook here because you don't really want them to know at the office where you are right now. So I don't need anybody knowing I went to church today. I don't need any questions. Think about that. So I know it's a little weird. Now, let me share with you. I'm figuring this thing out for myself. Just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean my Bible floats above my head in the morning and things glow in the dark all around. No, I'm walking this thing out, okay? Let me share this. Just this past week, I had opportunity to invite someone out. I was over at a store, and I was talking to this guy, and we were talking for a while, and just about life and about, you know, experiences, and he was telling me about a trip he's taking soon, and we were going through this, and I literally felt the stirring to invite him out, and look how bad your pastor is. I had invite cards in my pocket, and I didn't do it. And I still was just like, God, I feel like it's not the right moment. And God's like, seriously, what is the right moment? What else do you want? Think about that. And I'm probably going to have to go back to that store later today or tomorrow to give him an invite card, to be honest, because I'm not going to sleep good until I do. But all of us, if you are a believer this morning, you've placed your faith in Jesus. Where is your boldness? And maybe today you're here and you're saying, but I don't believe in Jesus yet. Okay, so this is setting you up to see what it looks like to follow him. I'm so excited for you if you don't know him, because you get to experience the resurrected Jesus for the first time in your life today. You are hearing that, yes, there is a Savior who came to this world, who died on a cross but didn't stay dead. John saw it, Peter saw it, and we are experiencing that same power today. He is changing our lives today. So how then do we grow in our faith? How do we grow in being bold in our witness? And there are two principles here that we see. And the first is this, to spend more time with Jesus. And it sounds so easy. Like, is that it? Yes, that's it. Spend more time with Jesus. And what that looks like today for us, because I'm not going to walk with him. He's waiting to bring me home. But I get to connect with him through prayer. I get to read about him and discover who he is, and we have community groups here. We have gatherings here. We've got people here. Here's some good things. You need connection points throughout your day. It's an easy connection point. You should have a playlist of music that when you feel disconnected from God, you put that on. It brings you back into relationship with him. Okay, God, that's right. I'm connected to you. You should have people. No one here still uses speed dial, right? That's gone, okay? Dial up, all that. But you should have a favorites list on your phone. You say, these are people I need to text right away if I feel disconnected from God. I got people here, these two guys right here, I text them, say, hey, I'm feeling a little disconnected from God. You need those connecting points because that's how you spend time with Jesus. You will not speak boldly about Jesus if you don't spend time with him. You've got to be with him. Look what we read. He said it. They were amazed by the disciples' boldness, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in Scripture. But they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. They spent time with him. The people saw them and said, you guys must be with Jesus. Now, what I love there is the phrase that we do for ordinary men with no special training, the Greek word is idiotes. You know what English word we get from idiotes? Idiot, right? It's in the Bible. So if you've ever felt like an idiot, you are a perfect candidate to share your faith. Hallelujah, that's a good thing for me. Right, all Jesus wants is idiots who will spend time with him. He wants people who know that they don't know enough that they have to spend time with him, and that's where I want to live this year. God, I know just enough to know I don't know enough. I need to spend more time with you because I want this year in my life to be different. It says that they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Can I tell you that when I skip my time with Jesus, my whole day is different? For me, I love waking up in the morning and spending a good 45 minutes to an hour with Jesus and just being with him. And I'm telling you, when I don't have that time, the road rage I have, my friends, it's like everyone on the road is an idiot at that point. It's just, get out of my way. You're going too slow. Why are you going so fast, bro? You should see the speed limit. Like, everyone is wrong in that moment. And I get here and things just go normal, but I think they go wrong because I hadn't been with Jesus. And there's no way I'm thinking about sharing my faith. And the house needs to be clean and the kids need to be quiet. All these things need to be in place. Why? Because I didn't spend time with Jesus. And then when I spend time with him, I'm more focused on the things that he wants. Things aren't distractions, they're opportunities. This isn't a moment that set me off course. This is a moment where God's trying to redirect my path for the day. Your mind changes when you spend time with Jesus. These guys had spent time with him, so when it was time to share their faith, they did it with boldness. And we get to do that today. And the second thing we can do is to ask God to make you bold. See, after this moment, the religious leaders, they threaten Peter and John to tell them, if you keep talking about Jesus, you're going back in prison. In fact, you may be executed. So Peter and John, they get together with the disciples later that day, and they pray. And look at what they pray. And now, O Lord, hear their threats, and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. I'm a little upset with the prayer they prayed, if I'm honest, because it's not the prayer I would pray. Come on, if I'm facing a bad situation, I pray something like, Lord, protect me, bless me, get me out of this thing. God, you strike my enemies down, Lord. They want to kill me, but you can take care of them. Amen. But they pray, God, just keep giving us boldness. We're going to, in spite of their threats, we're going to keep sharing our faith. Do not let us shrink back in fear. We are going to preach with boldness. See, I believe that the disciples had a perspective. They had eternity in their mind. They understood that the moments that they were going through were opportunities to share their faith with people. And look at this, forever changed the course of their lives. And not just here, but even their eternity. Now, I've never been a fan of hellfire, brimstone, you know, scare you out of hell, because if I could scare you out of it, someone could scare you back into it, okay? That's emotionally driven. And growing up, I was terrified so many times. If I came home and the house was empty, I thought Jesus came back and I missed it, okay? That's true. I was just screaming, Mom, Mom, if Mom's not here, I ain't no way I made it either. Like, just, that was my whole thing. So this isn't me trying to say, you know, there's a hell, you know that. But I wouldn't be true to God's word if I didn't talk about eternity. Because we believe that when we die, every single person spends eternity somewhere. And what's so amazing is when you read the words of Matthew and John a lot and Paul, that when they try to write down, and even the words of Jesus, when they try to describe what eternal separation from God looks like, it's like the words can't describe the horror. That's why there's so many images. It's like, well, it's kind of like a lake of fire. It's kind of like eternal torment. It's kind of like burning. It's kind of like just grinding your teeth. It's all of these things. It's weeping. It's all of that. It's outer darkness, because they just can't put into words the horror of it. But in the same way, when it comes to the presence of God and being with him, you see that others are saying it's kind of like the streets are gold. It's like there's every color you can imagine, and there's no more crying, and there's no more pain, and there's no more sorrow. And in fact, Paul, I think, does it so well when he says that no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind has imagined what God has prepared those who love him. See, there is an eternity. And think about how beautiful it is that God would look at us, his followers, say, you get to share me with other people and change their eternity and change their here and now. Be bold in your witness. Yeah, I can ask so many what if questions. What if they ask me a hard question? What if I offend them? What if I mess it up? And all of those may be valid, but what if I don't share my faith? What if I don't invite? What if I don't, with my words, say, you know, I believe that God has a better plan for your life, and I love to walk you through that. Because yes, we live with eternity in mind. And we also live knowing that God changes our lives here and now. And so the big question for this is, do you believe it deeply? Do you believe deeply that Jesus is resurrected? And if you do, are you speaking boldly about what you believe deeply? Now, maybe for you in this space, You don't believe in Jesus yet. This is all brand new, and you're just hearing about the resurrected King. Well, I love that, because today you get to place your faith in Jesus. That you get to, on the first Sunday of the year, say, you know what, I want to follow Jesus. And listen, you don't have to have it all figured out. None of us do. We know what Jesus has called us to do, to follow him. Follow, come and see, he would say. Come and just come and see. And that's why we value groups and gatherings. And we have so many who are on teams together in this space, because we need each other to continue to spur each other on towards Jesus. But today you get to place your faith in him. If maybe you're in this space and you're saying, okay, I believe in Jesus. I've made that declaration, but I'm just not bold. Okay, so we're going to spend more time with Jesus, and we're going to ask him to make us bold. We're going to spend more time with him, and we're going to ask him to make us bold. We are going to be used by God this year to make eternal impacts and differences in people's lives. I've experienced this. There is no greater reward than to see someone who was dead come alive in Jesus. There is nothing greater than someone who never knew about him, who was far from him, now brought close to him. And no, it doesn't always mean that their horizontals get all repaired and fixed and the money's flowing and the relationships. No, it's not that. It's their vertical is aligned with God now. And that is the blessing. Knowing, okay, I am in relationship with God, my creator. So when I go through storms, I have peace that goes beyond understanding. When there is no reason for joy horizontally, suddenly I have joy in Jesus. That is life changing. And I don't want you to miss that because of the what ifs. So let us be bold in our witness. I want us to respond right now. So would you stand with me? Our team's going to come up. And I want to pray not for you, but with you today. Because here I am with you saying, God, I need to be bold in my witness. Make me bold. And so I want to pray, all of us in this space. And right now, where we are, you're in a spot where you say, I don't even know Jesus as my Savior. I've never declared him as Lord. I've never given him my life. But I want to. I want this moment to be where you make the decision, where you are even bold in this moment to say, God, I want to live for your son, Jesus. I want to follow him. I don't know if I got it all figured out, but Jesus said, come and see, and that's where I want to land. This is your moment to respond. And if you're in this space and you say, okay, but I know Jesus, I think all of us could say, but God, make me more bold. I need more bold. God, I need to spend more time with your son. So I want us to respond. And my hand's up, not for show, because that's where I land. So if you're in a spot right now where either of those things, you say, I want to be more bold, I need to spend more time with Jesus, or I want to give my life to Jesus, would you right now just raise your hand up so I can pray? All around this room, hands are going up. It's amazing to say, hey, God, I want to be more bold for you. God, I want to be used by you this year in a deeper way. I want to spend more time with you. God, there are those in this space right now who are there for the first time saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. You are making lives new. So let me pray with you guys. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the many in this space right now who I believe it's the work of your Holy Spirit stirring our hearts, saying, be bold and witness, ask, receive, spend more time. God, I believe from this day forward, we are deciding to live out the principle that Jesus has given us, to go make disciples, to share our faith. So Lord, empower and equip each one of us. Holy Spirit, would you convict our hearts on the moments where we lose time with Jesus? Cause us to spend more time with him? Would you give us boldness? The disciples prayed and you gave, so we pray and you give. Make us bold this week as we share our faith. And for those in this space who right now are experiencing your resurrection power, their lives are being made new. Bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.